Hello and welcome to Grace Life Tigerberg. We are a gospel-centered church family focused on reaching the unreached and making disciples. We pray this teaching will help you to grow in your relationship with Jesus and discover more of the reality of Christianity.
With regards to healing specifically, I felt, Pastor, just for this morning to focus in on healing and focus in on just praying for people and getting into the Word. Because we see in verse 7 specifically now, it says, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And most often than not, throughout the New Testament, throughout Acts and then the New Testament letters, Jesus' commission to go out and work signs, wonders, and miracles were always associated with preaching the Word, teaching the Word. Because without teaching the Word, without ministering the gospel of Christ and getting someone healed, it's not really helping them. Yes, you might solve a problem for them and you might save them some medical bills, and that's good, amen, not having to incur some medical bills. But at the same time, if you don't give them the source of healing, then they're going to get sick again, or they're going to go back into that same pattern, not having the source, not having the answer to why were they healed, how could they enjoy healing, and how can they now take what you've given to them and enjoy that and apply that into their own lives. So it's super important. And then ultimately, giving someone healing without giving them salvation is not really helpful. Right? The greatest gift you can give anyone is Jesus, salvation. Can I get an amen? The greatest gift you can give anyone, and I'll share on this next week, if you consider this, the greatest thing that can happen in our lifetime, and I'll get into this next week, I'm going to focus on something else now this morning. The greatest gift or the greatest event that we could see in our lifetime is the reappearing of Jesus. The greatest event, the greatest expectancy any of us could have is seeing the reappearing of Christ in our lifetime. Not whatever dreams and things that you might have on your bucket list, like, I wish I can see this in my lifetime. Oftentimes we forget the greatest, most amazing thing that we can see and expect in our lifetime is the reappearing of Christ. And we'll get into that next week. So if any of you are interested, then there's some excitement for next week. But it's super important for us to understand a lot of the things that Jesus invited us to partake of is only for this lifetime. We're not going to get to pray for the sick in heaven. There's not going to be sick people in heaven. We're not going to see miracles in heaven because there's not going to be a need for miracles in heaven. So there's something exciting for us to look forward to and to position ourselves for to see things that if we don't cooperate, if we don't participate, we're going to miss out on seeing some amazing things and being part of amazing things that God wants to do through His body. That's all of you. That's all of us this morning. We are the body of Christ. And so I want to encourage you guys, if you've never had an expectancy to see signs, wonders, and miracles, or you thought that it was only for the apostles and it passed away with the apostles, and whatever your reference is, let's get into the Word. Let's put all of our preconceived ideas aside. Just let's give God a white canvas for a moment this morning. Let's get into the Word and reestablish a little bit, what is God's will? What is His purpose for our lives? And why do we get to see signs, wonders, and miracles manifest? And coming back to just the testimony that we had at Life Group this past week, one of the family members had severe back pain for most of his life, and he had it's been like a troubling thing, pain coming backwards and forwards, and it put his body like in like physical hell, so to speak, he said. And at times, like, he can't even walk, he can't even get out of bed, really. And he had a meeting, I think it was last week, and he shared how he had a meeting with a new client. The client came in. He couldn't get out of his chair. He told the client, listen here, I really want to get out of my chair and greet you and say hello, but like, I'm in severe pain, so sorry, man, just apologies for that. And the client didn't say anything initially about it, and then he saw some documents, some paperwork on his desk, revealing that he's a Christian. And so then he had the confidence to ask him, listen here, can I pray for your back? Can we pray? He said, yeah, no, by all means. And then, if some of you would know this this kind of practice, oftentimes back pain is associated with your legs that aren't the same length, and so your for whatever cause your legs start the one leg stopped growing or is restricting whatever the terminology is. And he asked him, will you sit on a chair? He measured his legs. He showed him the one leg is shorter than the other leg. He said, can I pray for you? We're going to pray for your legs to grow out now and your back pain will be gone. And as he was starting to pray, he wanted to close his eyes. And the guy asked, no, like open up your eyes so you can see what is happening. Because otherwise, you're not going to believe what happened if you didn't see it. And so he said, okay, cool. And so he prayed for him. And he was super shocked. His legs grew out and in front of his eyes. And he was like, what just happened? And then he asked him, stand up, test the pain. How's your back feeling? And all of the pain left, and this past week at Life Group, a week later, he said like he hasn't had any back pain. He's done his exercises, everything, and he hasn't had any problems whatsoever. And he was super blessed by the miracle that he experienced. And maybe for some of you that sounds far-fetched, and you're like, oh, can it really happen? That's why we're going to share the word that I'm going to share this morning. Because too often we neglect and we don't have an expectancy for things. Guess what happens when you don't have an expectancy? Nothing happens. This happens. Nothing happens. If you don't have an expectancy, nothing happens. Practically speaking, there's a reason why it's called a woman is expectant, because something is coming. A child is coming. There's fruit in the womb. And so if you don't have an expectancy, you don't have fruit in the womb. You cannot, if there's no fruit in the womb, you cannot have a baby born. It's very practical, guys. I know some of you aren't understanding the concepts that I'm using. Come chat to me afterwards. Like, If there's no seed in the womb, it cannot germinate, it cannot produce, it cannot develop into a baby being born. And so for us as well, if we don't have an expectancy, if we don't plant a seed, which is the Word of God, if we don't plant a seed, first we've got the Spirit of God, we've got Christ, that is the seed of life, that is the source of all fruitfulness, signs, wonders, and miracles. And so if we don't come to understand that and kind of have that cultivated within us, and have an understanding, we cannot enjoy the fruitfulness that it intends to bring into our lives. Amen. So as Jesus said, yeah, as you go, preach, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand, cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons freely without pay you've received, freely without charge, give. Let's go to John chapter 14 quickly. John chapter 14, verse 12. Now again, all of us in this room would have different views and opinions about healing. And why we've seen certain healings, why we haven't seen certain healings, why this person didn't get healed, or this isn't really applicable to us because this happened or that didn't happen. And so what we often do is we wanna interpret the Word of God through our experiences versus interpreting our experiences through the Word of God. What is infallible, constant, never changing? Our experiences or the Word of God? It's not a trick question. The Word of God. The Word of God is unchangeable, infallible, it's perfect, it's constant. From the beginning of time to the end, God says, not one dot to one, it's a funny word, not the dot of an I or the stroke of a T will pass away from our Word. Heaven and earth will pass away, but nothing from the Word will pass. And so God's Word is constant, it is concrete, it's laid for us. And so if we are humble enough, say humble. So humble is the opposite of prideful. Prideful is this mindset of, no, God's Word must be not perfect because this was my experience. Or I get the Word says this, but this was my experience. That is being prideful. It's having a higher value of your experience than you have a value of the Word of God. Obviously, present company excluded. None of you have ever been there. Just joking. It's sarcasm. Apologies for that this morning. We need to value the Word of God and interpret our experiences through the Word of God, not interpret the Word of God through our experiences. Amen. So John chapter 14 verse 12 says, and I assure you, most solely I tell you, if anyone steadfastly believes in me, he will himself be able to do the things I do. Who's speaking here? Jesus. Not trick question. I want you guys to engage here. Consider this. Think for yourselves. Jesus is speaking here and he says, whatever things I do, you will also be able to do. And you will even do greater things than these because I go unto my Father. What is this in reference to? I go unto my Father. Ministry school students? Or just everyone? I go unto my Father. What is this in reference to? Jesus saying, because I go unto my Father. You'll be able to do this because I go unto my Father. Holy Spirit. Okay? Holy Spirit. I know some of you are still sleeping. If you miss the coffee, then I'm sure there'll be still some coffee for you afterwards. Get some coffee. So this is in reference to the Holy Spirit. So we need to understand that something happened when we received the Holy Spirit. We received empowering. Acts 1 verse 8 says that you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And that word power is the Greek word where we find dynamite from. It's dunamis. So it's ability. It's supernatural ability. It's not natural ability. It's ability that goes beyond the natural senses. Amen? So it doesn't make naturally sense for someone whose legs aren't the same length for you to speak words and physically and biologically speaking for those legs to straighten up, be aligned, and then for pain to have left the body. Who of you understands? That doesn't make naturally sense. Medically speaking, it doesn't make sense. And so there's supernatural things that God has invited us into to partake of, but if we don't have an expectancy, if we don't have an understanding of what's been planted into our lives, what the empowering is that we've been given, we can't expect to see those things happen. And obviously, one big part of all of this also is, and we looked at this last week, is growing in confidence and boldness with regards to what we've been given. And that's what the disciples experienced. And we see this, Marco referred to this in Acts chapter 4, verse 13. And it says that they perceived that Peter and John, they were unlearned men, uneducated. But they saw a boldness and confidence about them because they have been with Jesus. They have been with Jesus. And they're not talking about a physical time that they spent with Jesus, because they spent a physical time with Jesus before the cross. And what happened? Peter denied knowing Jesus 3 times. That's being a coward. That's being afraid, fearful for his life. But then he had been with Jesus. What does that mean? Job says that I've known you by the hearing of the ear, but now I know you for myself. In Job chapter 1, it opens up and Job makes some declaration about who God is. And then in the end of the chapter, Job says, but I've known you by the hearing of the ear, by hearsay, by what my friends have said about you. But now I know you personally and I repent. I changed my mind. You are not who I thought you were. And if you know the story of Job and the account of Job, he made some foolish statements about who God is. And you repented of those foolish statements. And so that is why we cannot go into the Word of God and just read something as, this is the Word of God. Yes, it's the Word of God, but it's more so the inspired Word of God. And what is recorded there for us is for our benefit, but we can't take it as literal, physical, this is what God said. Because a whole lot of the book of Job is his friends speaking, not God speaking. So we need to understand, we need to rightly divide the Word of truth, otherwise we'll come up with inaccurate doctrines, diluted gospels, and a diluted gospel will taste diluted. Who of you recently had diluted the Oros? Super diluted. I often dilute my kids' Oros because, man, it's... Side note, these Oros bottles, these small ones that you find in the shops, don't know if any of the adults recently tasted those things, but feels like they've put undiluted Oros concentrate in those bottles. Literally, like I half that bottle, put water in there, and it's still too sweet. And so if you've had diluted coffee, let's use coffee. Most of us drink coffee. If you have very diluted, weak coffee, it just doesn't satisfy. You just don't want to drink it. You want to just put it aside. Like even having instant coffee, it tastes diluted, right? Now I'm stepping on some toes. Instant coffee, it just tastes diluted. Now, what happens, you don't feel the power. You don't feel the oomph, right? You don't get that kind of kick. And it's the same with the gospel. If we experience and we're receiving a diluted gospel, there's no power in that gospel. There's no manifestation of power, of signs, wonders, and miracles, because it's been diluted. It's been messed up with a whole bunch of people's experiences. Job had an experience, right? You guys know the life of Job. Job had an experience. It was horrible. I've got too many funny things that I want to get into this morning, which let's stick to the message. Time is running out. Okay. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 1 quickly. So we see Jesus telling the disciples here, you'll do the same works as me and even greater works than these because I go unto my Father. Meaning that because of my death, my resurrection, and the outpouring of the Spirit, you receive something that is your enabling, your empowering to do what I did. What did Jesus do in Matthew 10? We see that he says, you'll heal the sick, you'll cleanse the lepers, you'll raise the dead, you'll cast out demons. Why? Because that is what I've done. That is what my ministry was also demonstrating. Hebrews 1 verse 3. We need to understand that whatever your experience has been, if it's contrary to what Jesus has demonstrated to us, then your experience is wrong. Or your interpretation, at least, of your experience is wrong. What do I mean? Hebrews 1 verse 3 says, the Son radiates God's own glory and expresses the very character of God. Who's the Son? Jesus. So Jesus radiates God's glory and expresses the very character of God. And he sustains everything by the mighty power of his command. When he had cleansed us from our sins, he sat down in the place of honor at the right hand of the majestic God in heaven. Colossians 1 verse 15 says, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. So Jesus is the express image of who God is. And then in John 14, just a few verses before verse 12 now, we see this. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father. So now the disciples have spent time with Jesus and they're hearing about the Father and the relationship Jesus has with the Father and with God. And Philip asked, Lord, show us the Father and we will be satisfied. Jesus replied, have I been with you all this time, Philip, and yet you still don't know who I am? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. So why are you asking me to show him to you? So Jesus is telling the disciples, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. What does that mean? Everything that I've done is approved by God. Everything that I haven't done isn't approved by God. So if you see it in the life of Jesus, you can link it to who God is, to his nature, to his character. If you don't see it in the life and the ministry of Jesus, you can't link it to God, his nature and his character. Because Jesus was the very expressed image, the carbon copy of who God is. Why? Because he was God incarnate. God in the flesh. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've seen me, that should be enough for you. Because I and the Father are one. Acts 10 verse 38. And as we're getting into these scriptures, I want you to gain an understanding and get to a point of, and we're not going to go into things in length because we've got a limited time this morning, but I want us specifically to pray into specific things and with regards to healing in a moment. So I'm just getting into some scriptures just to establish firstly an understanding of the nature, the character of God, that his will for us is healing, his desire for us is healing and wholeness. Why? Because as we've seen now, Jesus expressed the nature and the character of God for us perfectly, completely. Not partially. Jesus expressed it for us perfectly and completely. And the New Testament epistles gives us greater clarity about the life and the ministry even of Jesus. So if we take the Gospels, a lot of his ministry, Jesus' ministry before the cross changed radically after the cross because of the Spirit of God now living in man. And then the New Testament letters are writing for us, explaining these things for us clearly and more perfectly. But Jesus' ministry, how he lived, what he did, showed and demonstrated the nature and the character of God to us. Acts 10 verse 38. And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing some who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. Well, whose translations there say uses the word some? Acts 10 verse 38. He's got your Bibles open. Any translations there throw the word some in there instead of all? Any translations? Whose translations uses the word all there? Did you hand up? If you don't have your Bible open, then I'm going to put you on my hit list. Joking. I'm just joking. So I'm going to read that again. Acts 10 verse 38. Because I twisted the scriptures there purposefully to now make a point. And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. Then Jesus went around doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. So again, illustrating and making this point clear to us that this is God's will. God's will is healing. If we don't have that established in our hearts, then we'll always doubt whether this specific sickness is something that God wants to heal or whether He doesn't want this to heal or doesn't want to heal this. A good question to ask is, did Jesus ever withhold healing from someone when a person came to Him for healing? Did Jesus ever? Think about this. Maybe you don't know your Bible that well and you can't answer with confidence or with boldness, and that's fine. Go and do your research. Go figure this out for yourself. But I'll tell you so long, and then you can go back this up with Scripture. Jesus never, ever withheld healing from someone that came to Him seeking healing. So if Jesus never withheld healing from someone, then God doesn't withhold healing from people. Jesus said, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. So we need to establish in our hearts that God's will for our lives is to enjoy and experience healing. I'm going to look at Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 from the Amplified Classic. It says, in many separate revelations, each of you, or each of which set forth a portion of the truth, and in different ways, God spoke of old to our forefathers in and by the prophets. Okay, I'm going to read that again. In many separate revelations, each of which set forth a portion. Say a portion. A portion isn't the full. It's a part, right? Set forth a portion of the truth. And in different ways, God spoke of old, talking about the Scriptures, to our forefathers in and by the prophets. So the prophets, the forefathers, what we see in the Old Testament Scriptures, it was only a portion of the truth. So that's why, again, when we go to the life of Job, for example, and we see some chaos there, it was a portion of the truth. It wasn't the complete truth. And we're not going to go into a whole bunch of other things right now, but there's a lot of things that we see in the Old Testament Scriptures that is attributed to God. Even the a good example, an easy example to kind of debunk is Elijah calling down fire from heaven and consume the soldiers. And then we see in the New Testament, Jesus and His disciples, the disciples say like, Jesus, let's do what Elijah did because these people don't want to receive us. Let's call down fire from heaven. Why? Because they saw the prophet, the man of God doing it. So obviously this is God's nature. This is His will. If someone doesn't want to play along, fire. Right? It's a good conclusion for these guys to make. If you don't interpret the Scriptures in light of the revelation of Christ, we need to interpret the Bible through the revelation of Christ because He was the perfect expression of who God is. So Jesus tells His disciples, you do not know what spirit you are. God did not come to seek and destroy men's lives, but to save them. God is in the saving business. Amen? I'm going to look at another Scripture here quickly. From Ezekiel. Let's go to Ezekiel quickly. We'll look at this next week in more detail. Ezekiel chapter 18, because some of the prophets got it right. Some of the prophets saw a greater portion. Some saw part of a portion. Some saw greater portion because there's also what we call progressive revelation throughout the Scriptures, throughout the writings. And then throughout the New Testament, we see progressive revelation. It's like you're having a 1,000-piece puzzle, right? And you only have access to 500 pieces. You start building. And it's like, man, it's going well, and it's going well. And then all of a sudden, like, you used all of your pieces. You're like, half of the puzzle is missing. Like, I can almost see, like, what this picture is going to be, but I can't fully see it. But you can see a part, and you can identify, and you can talk about that part, what you are seeing, but there's some pieces missing. And then progressively more and more puzzle pieces were added, and through Christ we saw the perfect revealing through His death, through the resurrection, and the writings of the epistles, we saw the complete picture of what God's message and what His plan for the world has always been. Salvation, God's Spirit living in man, the promise of God made to Abraham. Not money, not wealth, but God's Spirit in man. The whole earth blessed through the seed of Abraham, which was not Isaac, which was a foreshadowing and a promise of the seed Jesus coming. Ezekiel chapter 18. So here we see Ezekiel getting it a little bit more right for us. as one of the Old Testament prophets, Ezekiel 18, verse 23. Have I any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord God, and not rather that he should turn from his way and live? Imagine that. Some of us thought that God is pleased with the wicked people perishing and dying because of their sin. Have I any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord God, and not rather that he should turn from his way and live? What is God's will for men's lives? To live. God is in the saving business. And in the same way that he's in the saving business and not for men to die, he's also in the business for men to see and experience healing in their bodies. Why? Because Jesus demonstrated that for us. And we'll get into the rest of Ezekiel chapter 18 next week, not this morning. I'm going to come to a close and then we're going to pray for the sick. Because what's the point of talking about healings, miracles, signs, wonders in the ministry of Jesus, but not seeing the demonstration of it? Then it's just flaky, right? We're not about the flaky Christianity business, right? We're about the supernatural God and glorifying Him and stepping out in boldness and confidence what He's made available to us. Amen? Let's look at one or two more scriptures here. James chapter 1 verse 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from God, the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of change. God has always been the same from the beginning of time to the end. From the beginning of the book, Genesis, all the way to the end, Revelation. It's just our interpretation and the people's perspective of God that we often find in the scriptures that was a part of a portion of the truth. And so we don't interpret the Old Testament scriptures in isolation. We interpret the Old Testament scriptures through the revealing of who Christ was and what the apostles recorded for us through the letters. Amen.
You can find more of our free teachings on our website, www.gracelife.ca. And if you're ever in the Tigerberg area, we invite you to join us for one of our gatherings. Our aim is to help you discover Jesus, find family, and experience life. To contact us or to find out where and when we meet, visit our website, www.gracelife.ca.